Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. And just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. All right, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. I'm here with Derek and Steve. Derek, you are in Nashville, right? Are you in Nashville now?
I'm in Nashville.
All right, that's cool. Right. I didn't know if you were still like traveling around the...
No, I'm back.
You were in Florida, right? Trip.
Yeah, man, 78 degrees, low humidity, sunshine. Now I'm back in Nashville and it's 30-something and rainy.
Yeah, well, guess what? Today, right now in Colorado Springs, it's 7. And we are going to be getting pounded with snow. I woke up this morning to about 6 inches or so. And it's going to snow for another 6 hours. So wow. There you go. And I saw a meme the other day. It was funny. Who was it? It was somebody in our group. I can't remember. He says, I've already eaten all the food that I've had stocked up for the blizzard. And now I'm out of food before the blizzard gets here. And it was just a joke. But anyway, I thought it was funny. I don't get out much. So, and Steve, where are you today?
I am in 60 degrees in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Nice. Hanging with your boys.
And next week when we talk, I'll be on Amelia Island, which is off just outside of Jacksonville, Florida, on a beautiful resort island.
Is it that nudist colony you were telling me about that you guys do every year?
Yeah. I got so many funny comebacks, but I'm afraid this would be our last podcast.
Yeah. So before we hit record, we were just chatting about the phrase that we hear in sports, you hear in business, and that's speed is king. You know, I remember being a football coach, like, yeah, you can train and stuff, but you can't get a little faster, but you can't really coach speed. And that's why, like in youth football and stuff, you know, you're like, you got one fast kid, like you go undefeated because you just pitch the dude the ball, right? And then that dude gets to high school and he realizes, wow, everyone's kind of as fast as I am now, right? Now he's got to work harder, but speed is king in anything. And I was just talking to you guys about experience. We bought some appliances from Best Buy. They were delivered yesterday. Wrong fridge. We call. Now, I want to be clear here. We knew it looked like the fridge we ordered, but then when we tried to wash the fingerprints off it, it wasn't the non-fingerprint fridge, right? So that's when we realized. So whatever. So we called, or I should say the queen called, and that went over really well because she got transferred to like 4 people around their national call center. Not one of them can help them. All we wanted to do was talk to the store that our sales rep came from to go, hey, you know, we need to connect with our sales rep. Long story short, kept getting bounced around, never could call the actual local store. And we ended up getting in our car and driving there. Now, this isn't far, but we ended up driving there. And I'm like, you know, you guys don't make it very easy for people to fucking buy from you. No, I shouldn't have to get in the car to talk to a sales rep, you know, or think of other things, guys. And this is more of an annoyance than a speed thing, but like, time is ticking. Everyone's busy. Everyone has a shit on their schedule that they have to do and family to take care of and these things. Or I think about when I fill out a contact form on somebody's website, oftentimes I never, ever get a call back. I never get an email. I never get any sort of correspondence, you know, or I challenge contractors right now, go into your public Facebook profile, not your business, go to your public, just type in, what do you hate most about contractors? And I promise you, one of the top 3 or 4 things you're going to hear is, I call and nobody calls me back. Or they came out to my house, it took them a week to get to my house, it took them another week to get me a price, and all this other shit. I can't tell you how many countless stories of contractors that we've coached through the years that lose jobs simply because they don't get back to somebody. Like, like they were the first one to respond somehow. And then the customer is like, yay, you're the only one of 18 people that responded. And they'll be like, yeah, I'll send you a price tonight. And it's 2 weeks later, they don't send them a fucking price, you know, or 2 days later for that matter. So I don't know. I'm just, as you all can tell, Steve's grinning because he's like, Tom's just fucking winging this show today. Because I am, because I'm just at a loss. Like, all right, I'm going to say this. Steve, remember when way, way back in the day, we started the Contractor Sales Academy and it was like $500 a month, $2,500 or whatever we were charging for that first 12 weeks or whatever. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
And and guys were like, I don't have the money for that. I don't have the money. And you were like, how can a fucking grown man at 40 years old not have fucking $2,500, right? Like, you just couldn't conceive the even thought of that, right? That's how I am with this whole speed thing. Like, it, I just don't get, like, what else are you fucking doing if as a business owner if you're not communicating with people? Like, even when I was, you know, Tommy Dumbass business owner, when I started my first painting company and had the whites on and I'm up on the side of a house and my fucking phone would ring, I made it a point to answer the fucking phone when I was doing the work. Or I made it a point that day they were going to get the numbers I promised them or the info I promised them. And so I just don't understand. So maybe you guys can help me understand.
Well, it's funny you say that, Tom. It's, as we're closing on the finish line of our bathroom getting redone, and the tile guy was in there last night just when I got home. It's 5:30 or so. And just, I like to see what happened at the end of the day. And he's literally there and his phone goes off. And he looks at it and goes, I'm not taking calls right now. And just put his phone back in his pocket. And I just went, okay. All right. I would have answered it because I'm assuming that's money calling, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Tom, the reason I'm chuckling is because in my head, as soon as you started with this whole story about you bought the refrigerator, my first thought was, poor Derek, I wish we had problems. Like, we got a refrigerator that doesn't show fingerprints. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing, but B, I mean, that's a first world problem to have, Tom.
I understand it's a first world problem. I understand it. It's not like one of my testicles is stuck in a vice or something. I get it, yeah. Right?
And
right?
The second thing is I just picture that poor refrigerator salesman. He's watching the Home Depot doors open up in slow motion and you and Lee walk through the door like the Wild Wild West in slow motion, like, hey, motherfucker, you don't make it easy to deal with you.
we are known to be a little aggressive at times. So
I want to give everybody a real, really good tip right now. It's exactly what you're speaking to. Many years ago, when I started my pond company, and after about 10 years in the field, I came out of the field for the last 10 years, totally out of the field. And I remember saying, I don't even know how I ran this business from being in the field. But I tell you what made me a lot of money. The fact that I was a dedicated administrative person. I was never in the field. So I can actually do something like this. Watch. Hello. And these people would go bonkers because I actually answered the phone. You're talking about speed. Think about this. Think about you and your world. And if you listen to me, this is a truism here. You expect problems between basically 9 and 5. That's your work day. That's your day. And the world throws shit at you and you just deal with it. But when you get home and you start relaxing and it gets to be 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, you don't want problems. And when you want to talk to someone about your home project or fixing something at your house, you kind of want to do battle between 9 and 5. Or you want to do battle with someone that answers their phone. But the last thing you want to do is like, you know, you're on your second beer, it's 8 o'clock, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and that's not the time that they really want to engage with you. So I would get a lot of work only because I answered the phone and I dealt with these people when they wanted to be dealt with instead of a later time that wasn't necessarily convenient for them. Does that make sense?
That makes 100% sense. It's been that type of morning. Anyway, it totally makes sense because if you are a new business, if you're a one or two man show, if you don't have that support team and all these processes and systems and automations in place, then guess what, people? You need to answer your fucking phone. And if you get a contact that comes through your website at 10:30 at night when you're watching Netflix or something, and your phone goes ding and it's content. Guess what? Reply to the fucking thing. I see so many guys going, I just want to have this work-life balance. You know what? You haven't earned the right to have a fucking work-life balance until you're at a certain point in your business. I mean, it shouldn't be like your whole life from here on out, unless you're a total shithead and you don't grow your business in a proper way. All right. But I just see so many business owners thinking like, acting like they're a big business that's arrived when you're still in the hustle and grind phase of, you know, answering the phone. I just talked to the CEO of a company that's probably going to be, I'll keep it confidential, a company that's going to probably in the next few years be acquired for hundreds of millions of dollars, not in the contracting space. I had a conversation with this guy and they are doing millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars in sales with their product. He says to me, yeah, he goes, yeah, the CEO and I, we're still bootstrapping this thing. We're both doing everything in the business. We're answering the calls. I'm going into these other stores to place our product and I'm meeting the people and I'm doing this. And I just see so many people are in such a hurry. And I know this is sound weird coming from me because I'm the king of outsourcing, but like so many people are in such a hurry to automate and outsource shit when they're not ready. They haven't paid their dues. They haven't fucking saved enough money. They can't afford it. Guys, we're at a point where we can outsource things because we've built a strong business. You know what I'm saying? So I just see so many people trying to unload shit in the business. I mean, Steve, it still boggles me. And this isn't a good or a bad thing. It just boggles me. Until the day you sold your last company for a shit ton of money, you were still doing the fucking QuickBooks every week. Yeah. You were still answering the damn phone every week. And you've got a lot of damn money sitting in your bank account for a nice retirement for the next, you could probably live, I don't know what, another 60 years on what you have, you know?
In fact, the last, when I sold my swimming pool company in 1995 for millions, in that year, I actually lifeguarded multiple times in a chair and I jackhammered multiple concrete decks and all of it, you know, hauling rocks, the whole thing. So it wasn't like I had to do that shit all the time, but I loved what you said that, you know, these people, they are looking for a work-life balance and they haven't earned the right to have that balance yet. And I want to speak to one thing. If you're thinking you just screwed yourself because you started this business and you have no work-life balance, there's many different ways to get a balance. Some of it is it's just work hard seasonally. Some of it, you only work hard Monday through Friday and you take the weekend off and get your balance that way. But some of us, and I was one of them, you kill yourself for like 20 years, nonstop. And then guess what? Because you focus on work for 20 years, now I get to focus on life. I'm 65, and truly, I'm hoping I make another 25 years on this planet, but I'm about to have the best 20 years of my life coming up because I put the fucking work in back then, and I never thought my shit didn't stink, and I never thought I was too good not to do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, the three of us are making calls right now to our own membership base. We're calling people individually. How you doing? You know?
Yeah, we're sending texts, emails, phone calls, whatever it is through our database for those listening right now, because one of the things that we've looked in the mirror and owned our crap on is we've done a shitty job of just keeping some of the human touch going in the fight community. And that's one of our big initiatives this year is just, you know, whether somebody's a paying customer or not, we give a shit about y'all. You know, we want to help you. We want to lead you to the right resources, whether it's a fucking free video we have or it's our battleground group. And I think to your point, Steve, like we're not too good to do the heavy lifting, to get our hands dirty and shit like that. Like people say to me all the time, I get DMs all the time. Like, I can't believe it's 11 o'clock on a Sunday night and you're doing a Instagram story, you know, because I'll be out sitting by the fire, having a glass of wine with the queen, whatever it is, and I'll think of something that's of value and that can help a contractor and somebody be better. And I go, boom, I just go on Instagram, I make a quick story and I post the thing. And this isn't fair to the rest of the world because I just don't understand people that aren't wired that way, right? I have a hard time, like I have to calm myself down and go, okay, never, not everyone's like that. But like Steve, you talked about the people that are, hey, I'm just going to work hard Monday through Friday. Well, if your business is still that young business, you're not doing a million or two a year and have some people in place and shit like that, you don't get the weekend off. Like you just don't. And all this I'm saying is not to say that family isn't first, because family is first with me. Okay. But we communicate, we set the expectations. We, you know, Lee will be making dinner or whatever, and it'll be freaking 7:30 at night here or whatever. And I'll go, hey babe, I haven't done my final piece of content for the day. I got to go down and I'm going to do a live, you know, in our battleground group or whatever. She's like, cool. I'll see you in about a half an hour. Like we have these conversations and we, or there's other times where she'll set the expectations. She'll go, hey, take that phone and leave it in the other room for the next hour so we could just hang out and be together. So families first. And I've said this before. I think of life and business like a seesaw or teeter totter. Like I just want to go all in on the thing I'm on now. And then I want to go all in the other thing. All in works better for me rather than trying to balance like a tightrope. That's too stressful for me because I feel like I got to be everywhere all the time. But I go, no, I'm all in at fucking work. I'm going to be all in with my family, my kids, my people, whatever it is. And that's how I approach it. But so we asked our Battleground community, what do you get in Battleground? Wade, a painter in New Zealand, said, if I was say one thing that came to mind when I read this, it would be a lifeline. It's a place where I'm progressively learning to become a business owner, not just a craftsman. He says, I'm also learning to be a provider, father, husband, a leader, and above all, to see the progressive realization of a worthwhile dream, freedom. Or Chris, an outdoor living and deck contractor in Missouri. He says, you get the tools to change your life. You get taught how to use those tools. All that's left is you actually implementing. Fighters, I want to share a little bit about Battleground. As you heard in the comments from Wade and Chris, this is more than X amount of calls a month, certain topics, blah, blah, blah type coaching group. This is a true community, a tribe where we all have each other's backs. If you're ready to really succeed at higher levels in all areas of your life and business, head to thecontractorfight.com/battleground and check out what we have going. We'll see you there. Derek, you've been quiet too long here. I know you're thinking.
No, I'm looking at it from the contractor perspective and why are they so slow? What's going on in their mind? And I know exactly what it is. I mean, predominantly in our industry, it's men, and men are waffles. You guys have heard me talk about that. Men are waffles and women are spaghetti. You know, women can tie a lot of things together like a bowl of spaghetti. They can connect. They can do all these multiple things. We're mostly guys. We get so focused on one thing, we're compartmentalized. And we can't pull ourselves out of that compartment until we complete it or we're done with it or whatever it is to go into the next. So that comes into the phone call. A lot of contractors in general won't answer the phone because they're so focused or screwed up or fixing so many other problems, they can't possibly stop to re-engage and disengage to engage in a phone call. And I see that. I mean, after, you know, 7 years now at doing this and now Battleground, I mean, literally training and coaching thousands of contractors, is I see the same pattern. They don't control their calendar. They don't control their schedule. They let everything else control everything about them. They don't set boundaries. They don't say no more than they say yes. And once you start handling that, because I know I live by my calendar. But for me, it works perfect. I can look at my calendar and go, okay, I'm going to be in this waffle chamber, if you will, for the next hour. And then when I come out of this, I'll transition to something else. And then I can answer my phone calls. I schedule my phone calls. If someone calls, I sold a $1,500 faceplate surgery yesterday because I saw the email come in and I just hit call. And she was like, wow, I just sent in the web form. And I immediately said, thank you for the pictures. And I really probably need to dig in. I told her, I was like, I probably need to dig in why this is motivating you. But I can tell you right now, I can fix this next week. I can get my team over there, but the problem is going to be $1,500. I looked at the call. I was on there 3 minutes. She said, let me call my cousin, my husband. She called me back. We were on the phone for 30 seconds. She said, yes, send me the paperwork. Mm-hmm.
Speed is king. Speed is king.
Speed, organization. I know what I needed to do. I had everything in place. I could literally send that quote over. But you guys know me. I was a mess, total mess years ago. But at some point, I went, fuck that mess. I'm going to dial this thing in. I'm going to control my schedule. I'm going to control my life. I'm going to say no more than I say yes. And I'm going to set boundaries. And I'm going to follow through. And I get to do damn near, well, I mean, yesterday, we jumped on a call and I'm at the bowling alley with my wife, just kind of having some fun, mm-hmm. having a beer during the day. Who gets to do that? Well, a contractor that's busted his ass for 25 years. That's who.
So, Tom, you said something pretty that really hit with me. The only in my first company, the lifeguard business, I worked fucking 100 hours a week for like many, many years. And the only way I could do that is because I had a very supportive wife who allowed me to go do that stuff. And I know a lot of contractors when they get home, the first thing they get is somebody handing them a bunch of little kids or feeding them shit about working too much. So one of the things I fixed, though, when I had my pond company, I totally just reverse engineered the life I wanted. For instance, that I did things like I met my guys at 8:30 in the morning because we all drove our kids to school. We were all dads, that kind of thing. And I made goddamn sure I was home for dinner, you know, and anytime I had to steal some time away to do a work related, suppose I had to have a 1 hour discussion with somebody, it doesn't matter the business, I would take a hike. Okay, I'm going for a hike. So I'm gonna stack two habits that I like to do together, and it's not impacting on family time. See, my first job, I didn't even have one thought towards my family. I just worked. And my wife allowed all that. She was great with all that. But the second go round, I did it completely different. And trust me, now that I've done both ways, the second go round is the way to go.
And speaking of family, just so people are wondering, Steve is in a different location in Charlotte. You can hear people playing pool, I believe, in the background. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, yeah, they're actually over there playing pool, man.
They're playing pool. Yeah, you got your, but we can hear it. So Steve's at the office of one of his kids, Logan, and TJ's down there with his new pond business. Steve's down there just helping them with some things. And so that's what the background is noise, everybody. It is what it is. Yeah, I think there's some, I don't know where I learned this, you guys, but I think from day one, I just knew that if I didn't answer the phone, if the phone wasn't ringing, I didn't answer it and I didn't talk to somebody, no money was going to fucking come in, you know? And we have so many different types of contractors that listen to this. Some of you guys are listening to this going, you know, oh my God, there's like, how do you not answer your phone? I mean, I have an office staff and blah, 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 and this and that. And some of you guys have businesses that have been around, you've scaled them, you're profitable, you have great systems in place to capture the web forms and all these other things. But the most contractors don't. Most are not set up that way. And so I want to encourage them to just understand, like, there's a couple, for me, guys, there's a couple non-negotiables that speed is king. And one of them is getting back to people. One of them is the contact forms, making it easy for people to deal with you and connect with you. I mean, that alone is going to double your fucking sales in a year because nobody else answers their phone. I mean, Derek, you're a multi-million dollar company down there. And you, what I love about what you do, maybe you could speak to for these guys, is if you can't answer the phone right away, you kind of have some links you send people and blah, 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 to where it actually feels like they're making progress. You know what I mean? Like it's not just a dead end with a voicemail.
Well, that's it. You nailed it right there with progress, because that's what everybody wants. And when you mentioned web form, I hate filling out a web form and I get no response back. It's almost like it just goes out into the ether and I don't know what's going to happen next. But if you call me, like right now, even on this podcast, if someone called, I'll quickly just send them a quick text that says, you know, whom do I have the privilege of speaking with? I'm unable to answer the phone right now. What would you like me to know? And just that, and I'll get a response back. And if it happens to come through now, as soon as we get off, I'll just call them back. And just that touch point. And if I can answer the phone, I will. But also when someone texts me and if they respond with, I have a project, I have a pond, I have a landscape, I go ahead and send them my pricing. I send them the link for the contact form. I'm giving them things to do until I can reach them. And I know I'm getting a bunch of jobs because of this. I mean, there's a lot of contractors are catching up to this game. You know, it's and you should. And there's going to be other advances in technology and stuff, how we're going to be able to use this virtual reality, which I can't believe is a real thing that's right here now happening. And just take them off the street, like Neil says. Mm-hmm. Just take them off the street. If you're serious about this, you really don't want to repeat that same year like I did. I repeated the same fucking year for 19 years. And so quickly, now I'm 20, so go 6 years. Like, I went from broke to multi-million dollar business. And I love, Tom, I've never heard anybody say that. You literally just said, I have a multi-million dollar business. And it's like, holy shit, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. And it's just all these things. Make it easy. Make it fast.
Dude, about a month and a half ago, it was early December, Queen called a window washing company. Our windows, you know, just needed to be washed, right? And it went right to this guy's voicemail. We saw a sign or a truck in the yard. She saw it and she's like, okay, you know, they're in the neighborhood. I'll give them a call. And it was so cool because she got a text right away. It went right to voicemail and a text came, like he you know, copy paste or whatever the reply, right? And said, hey, this is so-and-so. I'm so sorry I didn't answer your phone call. I'm in the middle of something right now. I will personally call you back in the next 30 minutes. And within like 15 minutes, he called her. And then he was like, and what did that do? I'll tell you what it did right now. It stopped her from calling another company.
Absolutely.
Okay, number one. And then he got on the phone with her and he says, hey, the first thing I want, maybe he listens to us, I don't know, or not, but whatever. I thought it was great because it reminded me what you do. He goes, hey, listen, I just want to be up front. I'm booked out. I'm booked out until after Christmas. I just can't get there. So if this is something that you can't wait for, I totally get it. What would you like to do? And she goes, well, when can you do it? And he goes, I can do it, you know, the week of January, blah, 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 or whatever it was. And she goes, fine, I'll put it on the calendar. Where do you want me to send the deposit? It was done. We were off the market. That's what I mean by speed is king, you guys. Like, it's just doesn't have to be complicated. And how many contractors lose jobs, lose opportunities, lose revenue, lose retirement money and college money and braces money for their kids because they don't have something as simple as that in place to communicate immediately. And the key was that he fucking did what he said he was going to do after the text, which also built more trust. So I don't
know. That bar is so low. In the contracting world, I heard it just from another guy. We started talking shop and he literally was talking about customers want a lot of stuff done. And he literally made the comment like, we'll get to you when we get to you. You know, we'll reach out to you. And it was, I'm just going, oh my God. Like, did you really just say that? And I go, no, that's kind of where the bar set. So if we answer our phone, we communicate with them and we're actually just kind of nice. We care about what they need and then schedule it and then send them some paperwork. And I mean, it's so easy. And here's the thing too, if you listen to this, and you think some of these processes and procedures that we use are daunting, it's only like three or four things and you'll do them. So, and now, I mean, Micah Miller showed me how to set up my keywords on my phone. So when I type in price, boom, there's the link and I can immediately send it. I've got like 15 different keywords I can type in. So it's so fast. And it's now, I'm not tech guy by no means, but like anything else, if I repeat it enough, it's just, I mean, when the phone rings or when I get on the phone, I'm already, it's like the Matrix. Like, I need to say this, I need to push this button, I need to do this. It's just, you flow through it. And I mean, hell, look at our Google reviews. We have stupid Google reviews because we do the damn thing.
So I'd like to drop a theoretical gold nugget to just sort of wrap all this stuff up. How's that?
There you go.
So if you think going from this second on that your business, you are in the customer service business, and then you plug in whatever your trade is, if at every point you just think, how does this affect the customer? I'm in the customer service business. I'm going to do the thing I need to do to make that customer the happiest. That includes the speed. That includes all the different ways that you contact these people. That means you don't let, Tom always says time kills deals. You always look at it from their standpoint. And if once you get in your head that you're really in the customer service business, not the painting business or whatever your industry is, you will fix 99% of all these problems. And I'll prove it with one little test. I want you to take your next call, your next lead, and I want you, we have something called a throwaway lead. That's when we are going to try something brand new. And whether it works or not, we're just going to throw the lead away and give it a shot. I want you to, the next person that calls, you don't focus on the job. You focus on not just that customer, but think about the lifetime value of that customer. See, we're all battling out with the job to just being all throw up and technical and features and benefits. We're not playing to the customer. So the next time you talk to someone, talk to them as if they're going to be a $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 lifetime customer of yours and make them happy at that level. And you'll have more jobs and more money. You won't know what to do.
Yeah, you'll get your price every damn time too, because the concierge service mindset that you're giving people is going to elevate that. And before we wrap this up, you guys, there's two other things that I want to encourage you guys where speed is king. Number one is any conversation that you need to have that's a tough conversation in your business, have it, right? Like, speed is king. because the longer shit festers, the worse it gets. It'll never get better by you waiting. The second thing is, this is another thing that just blows my mind sometimes, but the amount of contractors I hear from that finish a job, bitch about this customer hasn't paid me in X amount of weeks or months for the final payment. And then you ask the question, he goes, well, did you invoice them on the last day of the job? Did you walk in and do the final walkthrough and hand them the invoice? Did you blah, blah, blah? Did you have that process in place? And I'm blown away by how many people just don't invoice with speed. You know, like it's, I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but I did way back in the day. I truly forgot to invoice this guy and we didn't catch it for like 3 or 4 months. And it was like $2,500 or whatever. And I'm like, I can't go back to this guy now. This is my fault. This is not his fault. Because how would I feel? Right? Like, what the fuck? You know, because it wasn't a malicious thing on his part. He just didn't know he owed it, right? It wasn't like he was blowing off the invoice. We didn't invoice him. I'm blown away by how many people simply put off collecting the damn money. I mean, and shit, we could do a whole podcast on Steve's take on that shit. But Steve's like, it's a money task. If it's a money task, it's getting done now.
Let me tell you, you just reminded me of something that's happened my whole 40 years. When you pay people, whether you're paying them from your business or personally, and they don't cash the check for like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
To me, that tells me that person is totally financially irresponsible. And I don't even want to deal with that person. I'm like, why don't you cash these checks? And you know, I just let a bunch of them build up on my desk or my dresser at home. And then I take them all to the bank, you know, twice a year. I'm like, what the hell is that? You know?
Oh my God.
But we all know people like that. We know them, you know, within our own group. We pay coaches out that help us. And sometimes a bookkeeper calls up and go, hey, he hadn't cashed a check in 3 months. And I'm like, holy guacamole.
Yeah, it's funny. Maybe we'll do a conversation on this later, but one of the things we used to do is on the first day of the job for our paint projects, our crew leader would set up the last day of the job. Hey, Steve, Thursday at about 4 o'clock, we're going to finish the project. I'm going to do a final walk with you starting at 3 o'clock. So can you be here at 3 o'clock? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go over the scope of work and go, we were painters, obviously. We'd go room to room or outside the house. We're going to make sure everything's done to your satisfaction. You're going to sign a quality assurance form. We're going to give you all the warranty information, product and your colors and blah, blah, blah. And at that time, I'll collect the final payment. That's what our crew leaders were doing. Guys, we're doing 300-400 jobs a year and never, I don't say never, maybe once a quarter tops, we didn't get paid on the last day of the job immediately. Okay. So guys, collect your damn money, man. Speed is king. The money's better in your account than it is their account. That's how I look at it. So,
well, I took basically that and what Steve does as well. And that same thing, I set up the expectation on deposit collection, what Travis is going to talk about and how he's going to collect the money. And then they've heard it. Travis goes, yep. Just like Derek said, we're done with collect the money. And you get the money every single time. Now there has been in the last year or so, we've had some new team members come on and there was some, like they were invoicing and I was like, time out. When did this change? No, we get paid when we're done. Like, oh,
speed is king, people.
Yeah, no, give me the money. And the customers love it too. They just want to be done. Done, done, done.
That reminds me of the story. There was a guy in our group many years ago. His name was Lee. We won't use his last name. But his biggest victory after a whole year in our group was that when he went out to start a job, he actually asked for the check that was owed to him. He goes, I've been in business 20 years. I've never done that because I'm too scared.
Yep.
I'm too afraid to ask for my second deposit check, you know, on the job site. So, you know, grow a pair, man. Yeah. You know, it's your money.
That was me very early on with my first business partner. I remember going out a couple times. I go out to a job and the crew was going to finish the next day. And I was in the neighborhood. I just swung by. So say it was a Wednesday, late afternoon, I'd pop in. Hey, Mary, I just wanted to put eyes on this, see how it's going. I was around the corner and then maybe the crew had left or whatever. And she's like, yeah, crew leader guy said they're going to be back tomorrow and they're going to finish up and this and that. She goes, can I just give you a check now? And I was like, nah, you can just give it to him. Like I used to do that because of my own head trash and shit. And then that fucking script flipped where I was like, wait a minute, don't ever say no to money, right? Because what if
especially,
she Yeah. What Especially if she forgets tomorrow? What if she forgets tomorrow? Or what if, you know, who knows what the hell happens? I'd much rather have the money in my hand. And so, yeah, so those that are like that Lee guy, you know, I get it. Like there was it was my own head trash around money. It was, I didn't want to inconvenience them, you know, whatever, you know, cause it wasn't the day we said we were going to collect the money. I mean, I could make up every fucking excuse in the world why, you know, I pawned it off on somebody else. So, but then I changed and we got more money. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. For those listening, appreciate you listening. Share this with another contractor. Give us a rating on Apple Music, iTunes, whatever the hell they call it these days. Appreciate you all listening. The Contractor Fight is the number one contractor podcast on planet Earth, which is pretty fucking cool. And with that, if you want to learn more about Battleground, I know we've mentioned it a couple times, head to thecontractorfight.com/battleground. And I sound like that guy. Sunday.
Anyway, Sunday. Be there.
Contractorfight.com/battleground. Super proud of what we have going on there. Highest group coaching level you'll ever get anywhere. All right. Steve, Derek, have a great day. Everybody.
All right. Later.